The great sage Maitreya said, "My dear Vidur, all the personalities present were very much satisfied in heart and soul upon hearing the words of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the benedictors." Please repeat. The great sage Maitreya said, "My dear Vidura, all the personalities present were very much satisfied in heart and soul upon hearing the words of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the benedictors." In this verse, Lord Shiva is described as Madhustama, the best of the benedictors. He is also known as Ashutosh, which indicates that he is very quickly satisfied and very quickly angered. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that less intelligent persons go to the demigods for material benedictions. In this connection, people generally go to Lord Shiva, and because he is always quickly satisfied and gives benedictions to his devotees without consideration, he is called Madhustama, or the best of the benedictors. Materialistic persons are always anxious to get material profit, but they are not serious about spiritual profit. Sometimes, of course, it is so happens that Lord Shiva becomes the best benedictors in spiritual life. It is said that once a poor Brahmana worshipped Lord Shiva for a benediction, and Lord Shiva advised the devotee to go to see Sanatan Goswami. The devotee went to Sanatan Goswami and informed him that Lord Shiva had advised him to seek out the best benediction from him, Sanatan. Sanatan had a touchstone with him, which he kept with the garbage. On the request of the poor Brahmana, Sanatan Goswami gave him the touchstone, and the Brahmana was very happy to have it. He now could get as much gold as he desired simply by touching the touchstone to iron. But after he left Sanatan, he thought, if a touchstone is the best benediction, why has Sanatan Goswami kept it with the garbage? He therefore returned and asked Sanatan Goswami, "Sir, if this is the best benediction, why did you keep it with the garbage?" Sanatan Goswami then informed him, "Actually, this is not the best benediction. But are you prepared to take the best benediction from me?" The Brahmana said, "Yes, sir. Lord Shiva has sent me to you for the best benediction." Then Sanatan Goswami asked him to throw the touchstone in the water nearby and then come back. The poor Brahmana did so. And when he returned, Sanatan Goswami initiated him with the Hare Krishna mantra. Thus, by the benediction of Lord Shiva, the Brahmana got the association of best devotee of Lord Krishna and was thus initiated in the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरिन्द्रस्य अभिनन्दनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाभिदलेशमदेवभक्तिवेदान्त नामिने. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाभिदलेशमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादे पर्षदेशतायने. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री अर्षदी गौर भक्तवृंद वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. नाउ वी आर हियरिंग from Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Shiva has been pacified by Brahma and all other demigods, and he is about to rectify the situation. In next verses we will see he will revive Daksha and other demigods who were injured. And after that, Daksha will perform yagya again. He will resume yagya again. And of course, he became so much purified that he appreciated Lord Shiva's position and the offenses he committed at his lotus feet. And after that, he resumes the yagya. And then Lord Vishnu appears. So it says in the Bhagavatam, a few verses after this, that when Lord Vishnu appeared, everyone was struck with wonder and no one was able to speak or glorify Lord Vishnu, neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva. One explanation is given that because they all felt we don't have much realization, much purity to understand glories of the Lord. How can we glorify the Lord? So in their utmost humility, they all remain silent for a while. So this is the situation I am also in. I don't have purity and realization to speak and glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. Nonetheless, I'll try and repeat what I have heard from the devotees, what I have read. I tried to request Prana Prabhu to give a class, but he gently refused 2 times. He would have benefited if he would have given. Okay. So, we see Lord Shiva mitigated the punishment but someone can ask, of course, Daksha's head was thrown into sacrificial fire, so his head was burned basically. That's why he was given goat's head. But what about other demigods who offended Lord Shiva? Someone's teeth got broken, someone's hands got chopped, someone's eyes went away. Lord Shiva would have revived completely, you know, and give them teeth, give them eyes back, but he didn't do. He had capacity to do that, but he didn't do. Why? But he made, he would have rectified them completely and given them nice body again, but he didn't do that. Why? So it is said it was good for them. And sometimes it happens that when we are playing, for example, kids play, and we get injured. So after that, there is some scar on the where you get hurt, and then it remains. Sometimes that scar remains throughout your life. You know, I have here on my head, for example. You know, so you can see that, and then it reminds you when you see. It reminds you, oh, this is what happened long back. You know, I was playing and I was very mischievous and I got hit, and see, I can see that scar. So it reminds you always. So that's what Lord Shiva did to all the demigods. He revived them, but same time he left the scar that throughout their life they will remember that, you know, we have offended great devotee. We shouldn't have done. So then that remembrance will cause them to act properly in future. So that was the reason. Then, it is said, and it's good actually for all the people who offended, we should always remember what good other people have done to us. We should never ever forget. We are very casual, time to time we see that some devotees have done some favor to us, and then after a while we forget, we become very casual, and then we don't appreciate, and then when they are in need, we just, you know, ignore, and so we very quickly forget some favors done to us by some other devotees. So we should never forget even little favor done to us by some devotee. We should never ever forget that and always remember. And on other side, if we have done some favor to others, we should forget. Otherwise, you know, we'll become proud, you know, I'm so nice. I am very, very nice, I am good devotee. So some good we have done to others, we should immediately forget. And do not expect anything in return. And Lord Krishna also has same quality. Lord Krishna, he remembers whatever little service his devotees are doing to him, he never forgets. Although his devotee might forget. In one of the previous classes, I mentioned that beautiful example of King Muchukunda. So when he was in the cave sleeping, and then Krishna followed inside the cave. I mean, Krishna went inside the cave, and then Kalyavana followed Krishna. And then Krishna hid himself inside. And then Kalyavana thought that Muchukunda is sleeping, and he kicked him. He got up, and then through his first glance, he burned Kalyavana. So that was the benediction he received from the demigods, that you know, whoever will disturb your sleep, upon looking at him, he will be dead. So Kalyavana was dead. And then Lord Krishna comes out. So here, Muchukunda sees, he is such a beautiful person here. He has seen demigods. Now he is seeing Lord Vishnu, but he couldn't recognize who is this person. So he is confused. And he said, no, this cannot be demigods. I have seen demigods. But he is more beautiful than him. Then he inquired, that, please pardon me, please tell me who you are. I couldn't recognize you. Then Lord Krishna introduces himself. I am son of Vasudeva. I am called Vasudeva. And then he immediately understood, oh, this is my worshipable Lord, Narayan, Lord Vishnu. And then he was perplexed, he was confused. And then he asked another doubt, that, see, I was sleeping. Sleeping is considered in mode of ignorance. And top of that, I wasn't doing any kind of sadhana bhakti, any kind of worship to please you. But I'm perplexed, you know, that you have come and gave you darshan. Gave me your darshan, you know, how come? So Lord Krishna replied that you may be in mode of ignorance right now. You may be not doing any bhakti right now, performing any bhakti right now, but you have done enough in previously. So, you have done enough, and that's why I have come to give you darshan. So Muchukunda forgot, he couldn't recognize the Lord, although in front of him, and he forgot what he has done for the Lord in the previous time. But Lord never forgot. So he always remembers. So this is the quality of Lord Krishna. And then he always forgets whatever bad done to him. This is also quality we see in Lord Krishna. There is one saying that in human society we see that, you know, I believe in God, someone will say. Someone will say, I don't believe in God. But in God's side, God doesn't believe in atheist. For him, everyone is same. So he provides food on the table of all the devotees, and he provides food on the table of atheist as well. Although continuously they are blaspheming and, you know, deriding Supreme Lord, but Lord never takes that bad quality from them. No, he just forgets. That's okay. Still I will feed you. So this is the quality of Lord Krishna. So we should aspire to imbibe these qualities. We should never ever remember what bad things done to us by other devotees. And on the other hand, we should also forget what good things we have done to the devotees. And always remember good things done to us by other devotees, so we can timely reciprocate with them. And this is actually justice. This is called nyaya. If I have taken something from you, and you have done some favor to me, and if I don't reciprocate and give you back, that means I'm exploiting you, I'm a cheater, I should be punished. Isn't it? If you give me some Lakshmi, some money, and if I don't return to you, it's crime. So think about that. How much facilities Lord has given to us. The fact that we are breathing is because of Lord's mercy. He has given us everything, practically everything, whatever we have in our life, everything is given to us. So it's time to reciprocate and give him back. Although everything possessed by him, we should give him back. also comes that Daksha and all the demigods, they became so much purified and they appreciated the punishment they got from Lord Shiva, and they were very happy that yes, we have done something wrong, now we have been justly punished, and it brings purification to the heart. And this is fact. Always we accept miserable condition in our life, when we accept as Krishna's mercy, you will see instant purification happens in our heart. We feel that. We become so casual sometimes, you know, something goes wrong in our devotional life, someone will chastise us, criticize us. And if we don't retaliate, or if we don't fight back, and just, you know, take it as Krishna's mercy, you will see a lot of purification within your heart. Krishna gives mercy. But on the other hand, in my personal experience, I have seen that if you fight back and argue back and, you know, just retaliate, you will feel something immediately, something has went outside of your heart. Something gone within your heart, from your heart. So it says, you know, we have done so much services, we are doing services, so we are accumulating a lot of piety, a lot of punya we are accumulating. And in such situations, when we criticize someone, we do ninda, or find faults and get angry on someone, that piety is been reduced. Just like, you know, if I go to shop, I swipe my card, you know, the bank balance is there, but, you know, as soon as I swipe the card, I get something in return, right? But the bank balance is reducing, isn't it? So I got something in return, on the other hand, I had to pay something. So same way, this is also same principle, that why we argue back and why we criticize others, the thing is we want something in return. What? You want to prove that I am better than you, basically. You know, I am right and you are wrong. You want to protect your fame, for example, and respect. So this kind of things you want. That's why we criticize, we get angry, we argue, but then you have to pay the price. You know? So the piety is being taken away from you. So this is the thing. So when we refrain from entering into such situation, then, you know, that spiritual piety and the bhakti, the mercy retains. Otherwise, you know, immediately it leaves the heart. Our heart shrinks, in other words, you can feel. So it's very important to behave properly. And Daksha and all the demigods understood that point very well. In this connection, I remember one devotee, when I was in Vrindavan last year, he told me very nice his own personal experience about criticizing devotee. So he is now more than 50 years and still brahmachari. But when he was young brahmachari, fired up, enthusiastic brahmachari, in his ashram he was a kind of a leader. And one of the brahmacharis was not able to attend morning program very rigidly, very nicely, you know, not getting up for Mangala Arati, coming late and this and that, you know, sleeping. So this devotee would get some reasons, and time to time he advised him to come and, you know, encourage, but he wouldn't do that. That other devotee wouldn't come for morning program. Then one day he said he just happened to criticize him badly, and then so, you know, all the reasons, you know, these are just excuses, you know, of course you can come, you don't want to come, and like this. So he criticized that. Why you can't come? You know, like that, he questioned him, you know, all this is rubbish, you know, his excuses, he just refused. So after some time, he came to realization. How? That after some time, he developed insomnia. this devotee who criticized the other devotee who couldn't come for Mangalari. So he got insomnia. He started developing insomnia. And then he tried all the medications and this and that, you know, nothing works. And then he came to realization, you know, the Lord within his heart revealed. And then he felt that, yes, see, now that day actually I told that devotee, why can't you come? You know? Now Lord is telling me, why can't you come for Mangalarti? Yeah. Because of insomnia, he was basically not able to attend Mangalarti. And his morning program got ruined. So now Lord is asking, you know, why can't you go there? Yeah. So Lord Krishna has ways to teach us. Yeah. So he learned the lesson. And then he said, you know, that devotee, I still suffer from insomnia, even after many, many years. So he felt that, you know, the same thing, you know, the scar has been there to remind him that, you know, never ever do such thing again. You know, casually even we shouldn't criticize and find faults and, you know, get angry on devotees. We never know what will come in back. You know, Lord has a different way to purify us. So it's very important thing to behave amongst devotees very nicely, very gently, in proper Vaishnava manner. Okay, so next point, Lord Shiva is called as Midustama, the best of the benedictors. Why? Because he doesn't discriminate. Whoever comes to him for shelter and for benedictions, he just gives. There is no discrimination. And we see very well in the pastime of Samudra Manthan. So the first thing came out was poison. And that poison was so deadly that even the fumes, if happen to go in your nostril, you will be dead. And that kind of poisonous, dangerous poison was there. And it was spreading very rapidly in all the direction. And seeing that, all the demigods and demons, they fled immediately. And then we know even Lord Vishnu was there, but then Lord Vishnu wanted to glorify Lord Shiva's position. And then he advised all the demigods and demons, go and request Lord Shiva. He can rectify this situation. And then Lord Shiva, he accepted. He accepted the request, and then he condensed all the poison and kept inside his mouth. In his neck. And that's why he's called Nilakanta. So he didn't discriminate, you know, although there are devotees, but among them there are demons also. And he is merciful to all the living entities. Not only demon, demigods, but all living entities, you know, animals, insects, reptiles, all the living entities. So that's his position. And in Bhagavatam we'll see many of the pastimes, Lord Shiva has been worshipped by demons, for example, and then Lord Shiva gives them benediction. Do you know any of them who worship Lord Shiva? Ravana was one of them. Yes. Any other? Rikasura. Yes. Anyone else? Banasura worshipped as well. Right? Yes.
Ravana,
he said already. So, see, this personalities were demoniac. Ravana was performing worship, and then Lord Shiva wouldn't appear. He would daily in the morning, he would worship very elaborately Lord Shiva in form of Shivalingam. And then at one point, he was ready to chop his head. And he did actually. He did chop his head. And at that point, Lord Shiva appears, and then in benediction he gives not only that head but another 10 heads, you know, and then a lot of other powers he gives. And then in case of Banasura also, Banasura played drum when Lord Shiva was dancing, and Lord Shiva got pleased, you know. So just by offering little water and flower, he gets pleased. So he is very easily pleased, and same time very easily angered as well. And in case of Vrikasur also, same thing happened. That he was about to chop his head. He started with, you know, chopping his flesh and throwing into that sacrificial fire. And Lord Shiva wouldn't appear. And then when he was about to chop his head and throw, Lord Shiva came, wait, you know, why are you doing this thing, you know? What do you want, tell me. And then he said, you know, I need a boon. Whomever I touch, you know, he should get killed. So it's not in Bhagavatam, but I heard in one of the commentaries by one devotee that it's not only Lord Shiva appeared, but Parvati also appeared along with him. So when Vrikasura saw that Parvati is very beautiful, very attractive. So his mind got bewildered. You know, he developed lusty desires to enjoy Parvati. And then he thought for a while for the boon he should ask. And then he asked this boon, you know, that whomever I touch, whomever's head I touch, he should die immediately. And then he thought, you know, I'll touch Lord Shiva's head and then kill him and then I'll take Parvati. This is demon, you know. So Lord Shiva gave, and then, you know, he chases Lord Shiva, and then Lord Shiva runs everywhere. Now who can catch Lord Shiva? You know, so Lord Shiva kept running, and then after a while, you know, this Vrikasura got tired, and he couldn't chase further. But still he was searching. But the same time, Lord Shiva went to Vishnu, and then he mentioned what happened, and then Lord Vishnu comes as a Brahmachari, and then he speaks to this Vrikasura, and then he says, why are you running? You know, something wrong, you know, be calmful, be peaceful, you know, what happened, what happened? The Vrikasura explained what happened, and he says, I'm searching for Lord Shiva, and he gave me this boon, but now he's not letting me test, you know, whether it's true or not. Oh, yeah, you know, what do you think, you know, he himself is living like Avadhut, you know, he doesn't have anything, and what boons he is going to give to everyone, you know. This is all rubbish, you know, don't believe in him, we don't believe in him. And if you really think he speaks truth, then try on your head, you know, you put a hand on your head and it won't work. And then you go and kill him. They tell him that his boon didn't work. So he did that immediately and then he died there. So Lord Krishna bewildered him, and then did that. So, yeah, these are the few examples. Ravana, Vrikasura, Banasura, they are asuras, but still they worship Lord Shiva, and then Lord Shiva is giving them benedictions. They are being benedicted by Lord Shiva. And on the other side, there are devotees. One example, beautiful example given by Prabhupada in this verse, this purport, that here Prabhupada says, sometimes, of course, it is so happens that Lord Shiva becomes the best benedictor in spiritual life. So he doesn't just give benediction to each and everyone, but his main desire is to see other person develop Krishna consciousness as well. Because he is a Vaishnava, Yatha Sambho. He is topmost devotee among the Vaishnavas. So he is happy to see others develop in Krishna consciousness. So in Bhagavatam we will see these kind of examples as well. For example, Prachetas, when they were on the order of their father going to perform austerities, they were heading towards one place, and they were thinking that we will go inside the ocean and then meditate. Then they saw one beautiful, vast reservoir, and it was almost like a, it appeared like an ocean. You know? So they thought, oh, this is a beautiful place, we'll meditate here. And they saw Lord Shiva coming out of that lake. And then Lord Shiva gives them instructions how to become Krishna conscious, how to worship Lord Krishna. So he takes the position of spiritual master, and all the prachetas followed their spiritual master's instructions and they perfected their life. So this is one example how Lord Shiva is helping living entities to become Krishna conscious. In the 12th canto, another incident we see is Markandeya Rishi. So after he gone through that experience of, you know, annihilation of universe, all these things happened and finished. He was sitting in one place and meditating, and he was deep in meditation of Lord Vishnu. And then Parvati and Lord Shiva is passing by. They saw here great sage is sitting. Let's go and speak to him and give him some benediction. And so we hear that pastime as well, that Lord Shiva gave nice benediction to Markandeya Rishi as well. We'll hear that after some time. I'll read that verse as well. So here, this is Ashutosh, this is Madhustama. He is best among benedictors. But then question comes, is Krishna not best of the benedictors? Why only Lord Shiva? So there is difference, little difference. This question was asked by, originally it was asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Krishna himself. That he mentioned that Lord Shiva's devotees are very opulent. They worship Lord Shiva, and then Lord Shiva gives them a lot of benedictions, a lot of boons, and they are very happily living. But on the other hand, Lord Vishnu's devotees are very poor. We are perplexed. Why is it so? But actually speaking, this is just a wrong notion in the society, that Lord Vishnu's devotees are very poor. They are not actually. In present condition also, Lord Vishnu's devotees are very opulent. For example, Brahma, Dhruva Maharaj, we'll hear in next chapter, Dhruva Maharaj story will start. So no one is more opulent than Dhruva Maharaj in this material universe, isn't it? And all the demigods, they are also devotees of Lord Vishnu. So they are also very opulent. So very rich people. Lord Vishnu's devotees are very rich. It's just a wrong notion that Lord Vishnu's devotees are poor. No, it's not like that. So the question was answered by Lord Krishna in a way that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they both are, same thing he mentioned, they both are very easily pleased and very easily angered. But Krishna said, but I am not like that. He is difficult to please, difficult person to be pleased, you know. You need to do a lot of endeavor, a lot of bhakti, sincere bhakti, then Lord Krishna pleases. And then when he gets pleased, he becomes yours. And he never betrays you. He never again gets angry on you. He never is angry, by the way. But he never betrays you. He never refuses you. That's Lord Krishna. But Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are not like that. They are easily angered also. And another point Krishna mentioned, that my special mercy comes in a special way. A very beautiful verse, Prabhupada also liked that verse very much. That when I favor some devotee, my devotee, when I give them special mercy, then first thing I do is I take away everything and everyone from their life. That's the first thing. So whatever we possessed, you know, everything is just taken away. And then whatever little friends we got and family members, they are also gone. You know. They will basically, you know, reject you. Now this useless fellow, you know, just give him up. So you will become alone without any possession and no one in your side. And at that point, you know, Krishna says, I come and I become your friend. You know, so that devotee takes shelter of that Lord, his Lord, and he continues his worship. And then Lord gives abundance of mercy, abundance of association, that, you know, he doesn't need anything else. This is a special way Lord Krishna gives mercy. So worshippers of Lord Shiva or Brahma and worshipper of Lord Vishnu, they're different. Rikasur, Ramana, Banasur, they all did some kind of service in one sense to Lord Shiva, but their heart didn't get purified, isn't it? Rikasur wanted to kill that same person who gave him boon and enjoy his wife. So see how contaminated his heart was, and it didn't get cleaned even after he receives benediction from Lord Shiva. But on the other side, worshipper of Lord Vishnu, although if they have some material motives, material intentions to worship Lord Vishnu, in the process of worshipping Lord Vishnu, there all the contaminations, all the impurities go away. That is the beauty of worshipping Lord Vishnu. Next chapter we'll see. Dhruva Maharaj, so he wanted kingdom bigger than his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. And he did receive that. But then when Lord appeared in front of him, he says, I was asking for broken pieces of glass. He compared all the material opulences he wanted to the broken pieces of glass. You know, when you go on Swanson Street, you will see, you know, some broken pieces of glass, you know, people throw after drink and they break the glass. So no one cares for that, you know, the people just throw it in rubbish. Just no one will look at that. So Dhruva Maharaj compared all the material worldly opulence, equal or even more than what Lord Brahma possesses, to those pieces of broken glasses. And then he said, no, just I'm having your darshan, that's enough for me. That's the greatest benediction I received. So this is what happens when we perform bhakti, our hearts get purified. But devotees of Lord Shiva and Brahma, that transformation doesn't happen. So that is the difference between these two worship. And it says, the main point is our intention. Even when we begin our devotional service, we have so many other motives, but gradually we learn, we hear, we read, and we learn that our intentions are very, very important in our devotional service. Why am I doing my devotional service for? Ultimately, it is to please Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas. No other intentions are recommended in devotional service. But although we have, we should continue. The process will purify us. But the point is, aim for pure devotional service. And we see in the Bhagavatam, time to time, from 1st canto to 12th canto, this is the point coming out time to time about purity, the intention of devotional service, the purity one should hanker for in devotional service. In the first canto, for example, Parikshit Maharaj, before Sukadeva Goswami comes, all the other sages were assembled there. And then there he greeted all the brahmanas and great sages there. And then he offers nice glorification, and then they also reciprocate with him. And then Parikshit Maharaj mentions what I would like to have. If I have to take birth again, I know I'm going to die in 7 days, and if I have to take birth again due to my karma, due to my bad activities, I have cursed Brahmana. What I would like to have. So I'll read that beautiful verse. So I'm going to read three verses by three different personalities. There we'll see how they are hankering for pure devotional service. What they are. The second thing he asked. So these three things he asked. Attachment to unlimited Lord Krishna. Then association of devotees. And third thing he asked is friendly relationship with all living entities. See. And then in the middle of Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, tenth canto is considered middle of Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence is kept in middle. In that way, it's the middle of
Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Krishna and Balaram entered Mathura, he killed washermen and then took their clothes and got decorated, and then they went to meet a garland maker, a Mali named Sudama. This is different Sudama than the Sudama friend he had in his Gurukul. So here this Sudama having same name, but he is a Mali, he is garland maker. And he went to his house to basically get some garlands, beautiful garlands, because he got nice garments. Now he wanted to decorate himself. And so he went to, Krishna and Balaram went to his house. And this Mali knew their desire. And Mali also, Sudama, was also very happy to receive his lord, because he would go and sell his flowers and garlands to vicinity of Mathura, in Mathura and in vicinity of Mathura. So he would hear about Lord Krishna and Balaram playing in forest. So he developed a lot of attachment and bhakti for Lord Krishna and Balaram. So after whole thing happened, in the end, Lord Krishna asked, what benediction would you like to have? And then here we'll see what he asked from the Lord. So this verse is from 10:41-51. Sudama chose unshakable devotion for Krishna. So this is first thing he asked. Sudama chose unshakable devotion for Krishna, the supreme soul of all existence. Second thing he asked, friendly relationship with his devotees. And the third thing he asked, and transcendental compassion for all living beings. Isn't it same thing what Parikshit Maharaj asked in the beginning? And this is the same thing he asked Krishna, Sudama. So this is another devotee. And he is asking basically the same thing. I want unflinching devotion, unshakable devotion to Lord Krishna. I want friendly relationship with devotees. And then transcendental compassion for all living entities. Same thing he asked. And then in the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Markandeya Rishi, I mentioned about him a little bit. So when Lord Shiva and Parvati came and gave him darshan, and they wanted to offer some benedictions to Markandeya Rishi. And then what did Markandeya Rishi ask? We'll hear that in 12th canto, 10th chapter, 34th verse. And here Markandeya Rishi says, but I do request one benediction from you. Previously, you would have said, I don't want anything, I'm self-satisfied, I'm fine. But then he said, no. But I do request one benediction from you, who are full of all perfection and able to shower down the fulfillment of all desires. I ask to have unfailing devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and for his dedicated devotees, especially you. So he asked two things basically. Unfailing devotion to Lord Krishna and devotion to his devotees. So these are the three things. Devotion, pure devotion, unflinching devotion to Lord Krishna, nice friendly association of his devotees, and friendly relationship with all living entities. Not only devotees, you should have compassion for all living entities. So these are the three things. You know, always devotees desire for these three things. So when we have this pure motive in our heart, Lord reciprocates very quickly. We gain Lord's mercy very quickly. On the other hand, we saw Vikasur and all other demons, they didn't have, first of all, pure intention. Here, Lord, in the purport, Prabhupada mentions about this poor Brahmana. He didn't have pure intention, but he was purely worshipping Lord Shiva. And that's why he got directed to pure devotee, and then he got ultimately Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He got initiated in Parampara and got mercy. So, sincerity is the key, whether you worship Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, and especially Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. Sincerity is the key. When we have sincere desires, and whatever little bit we do, Lord never forgets. He always remembers, and He timely reciprocates with us. And we'll feel reciprocation, and we will make advancement in our spiritual life. So I'll end here. If anyone has any question, corrections, please say. Hare Krishna. I saw her first. Yes, Mother. Okay.
Kids. I have to take the opportunity if you don't mind.
Yes,
Mother. So you're mentioning how the tutors. Thank you for such a nice class. Very nice class. Thank you.
Difficult question is coming.
No, it's a comment with how can you relate to this?
Okay.
So Lord Shiva is Ashutosh.
Yes.
And the greatest of any is the qualities of the pure devotee. So in our experience, of course, to many of us is Srila Prabhupada. Many devotees came to Srila Prabhupada with less than pure motive.
Yeah.
But still he benedicted.
Yes.
That was all it was.
Comment.
Easy.
I was, while preparing this class, I was thinking about Prabhupada, and I was thinking about the same thing. See, Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava. So one can say, why didn't he purify Vrikasur, Ravana? You know, he has capacity, right? Lord, there is one verse in one of the Vedas, that better than worship of Lord Vishnu is worship of his devotees. Anyone knows that word, Prabhu? Say loudly. Aradhana. Yes. Yeah. So Lord Krishna's devotees are very powerful. They can purify, right? We go out and distribute books, and those who get books, you know, they get purified. They become devotees, isn't it? Someone can ask question, you know, why Lord Shiva didn't do that? So that's why I mentioned, I brought up this point about intentions of what we are doing. If you have proper intentions, then we'll get purified very quickly. So in case of Prabhupada also, many of devotees came, they started bhakti, Prabhupada accepted wholeheartedly everyone, you know, and engaged them in devotional service. But many of them didn't want pure devotional service. So what could Prabhupada even do? You know? So even Krishna doesn't interfere with our free will. If I don't want Krishna, if I don't want to please Him and serve Him sincerely, Krishna cannot force me. So His devotees also doesn't do that. And there were few instances, for example. In Vrindavan there was one devotee, he was living and he was doing a lot of services in Vrindavan temple. But he would steal some money from treasury. And then Tejas Prabhu caught him and he complained to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada first time he said, okay, we'll speak to him. Just let him go. Don't do him anything. So Tejas Prabhu left it. But second time he again stole some money. And then he again complained to Prabhupada. So like that, it happened few times. And Prabhupada, all the time, he would say, just forgive him. You know? But Tejas Prabhu was saying that, you know, you should hand him to police. You know, he should get punished for what he is doing, you know, stealing money. So then one day, Tejas Prabhu asked Prabhupada, how many times we should forgive him? So then Prabhupada said, Vaishnava forgives forever. So this is the heart of Vaishnava. But someone can say, well, he is doing devotional service, he is with association of pure devotee like Prabhupada. Why
why pure devotee and devotional service are not able to rectify such desires, bad desires in the heart of devotee. Well, they can, provided the person is ready to become purified. So our intentions, that's why I brought up that point, the intentions are very important. Then pure devotees will do miracle in our lives. Yes, Prabhu, you had a question?
In chanting, why do we you put this finger out of the bag?
Okay. You know that answer, right? Anyone knows that answer? You know? Yes. Your friend will answer. Yes, there you go. Would you like to add anything, Pranab Babu? He said we point this finger near your bed, you know, we get angry. Any other answer for that? No, I haven't heard more than that. Anything for you? Know?
Someone told me to move your finger because it fits in all the voice.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Madhuri. In special cases, he does not. Not to the verse from 10th canto. If I read that verse, Krishna wants to show special favor to his devotees. He takes away everyone and everything, and then he makes him completely dependent on himself. You know that person. So she is saying that we start bhakti. We still have our old friends, we still have our possessions, you know. So why Krishna is not doing that to us? So answer is, he does to only special devotees, and he gives that special mercy to only special devotees. For example, Prabhupada experienced that. So of course we are not on level of Prabhupada. I'm not saying you all are not special. You all are very special devotees, but sometimes we are not on the level of Prabhupada who can handle such mercy of Lord Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Shiva is called Nilakant.
Nilakant. Nilakant. That poison he drank, it was so dangerous and so deadly. As I mentioned, that even birds, if they fly and fumes goes in their nostrils, they would fall dead on the ground. So it was very deadly. So Lord Shiva condensed that whole poison and then drank and put here, restored here in his neck. But he got some reaction, and that reaction was his kantha, his throat became bluish because of that poison. But that increases his beauty more. So that's why he is called Nila Kantha. Nila means blue and Kantha means neck. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Why wouldn't Shiva pacify Narasimha Dev anymore? Why could only Dalai Lama pacify Narasimha Dev because
Shiva is considered the devotee? They were all fearful. Bhagavatam mentioned then when Lord Narasimha Dev killed Hiranyakashipu, his anger was on his peak. They have never ever seen anyone angry like that. So all the demigods are also very fearful, one of the reasons mentioned. They are very fearful to approach, to even look at him, you know, and they were all, you know, standing very far away. Because he was very furious, very fearful, very angry. And then Lord Brahma thought, you know, only Lord Prahlad Maharaj can pacify him, because he loves Prahlad Maharaj. And because of that only Lord Narasimha Dev, because of Prahlad Maharaj only Lord Narasimha Dev came. So let bring him forward and let him solve the situation. So one of the reasons were everyone was afraid to approach Lord Narasimha Dev. That's why they didn't. Alright, it's quarter to nine almost. Runs Narasimha Bhagavatam ki?
Yeah.